You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Café Justicia is a fair trade coffee produced in Guatemala. The sale of the coffee not only provides a decent living for the workers, but also funds the work of the Campesino Committee of the Highlands. This committee, known by its Spanish acronym, the CCDA, is an organization that was set up in 1982 to defend the rights of workers on large coffee, sugar, and cotton plantations. Its other goals are to recover lands taken from the Mayan communities and to promote and recover Mayan culture. Its work has made it many enemies among the ruling elite of Guatemala. Last month, the national coordinator of the CCDA began to receive death threats and was forced to flee to the national capital. When it became apparent that he and his family were still not safe in the capital, they decided to leave the country for a while and take refuge in Canada. A week ago, Leocadio Huracan spoke at Rhizome Café about the work of the Campesino Committee of the Highlands and about the organizing successes that he believes led to the death threats against him and his family. Steve Stewart was the translator for the evening. Steve is the coffee coordinator for BC Casa, a BC-based solidarity organization which imports Café Justicia into BC.
Bueno, entonces, como ustedes sabrán, algunos de ustedes, algunos más, otros menos, pero seguramente tienen la información que Guatemala es un país muy desigual.
And so, as you all know, some more deeply than others, but Guatemala is an extremely unequal country. One example of that is only 2% of the population owns 70% of the cultivatable land in the country. And so there's a huge concentration of land in few hands. And for this reason, one of the key struggles of the CCDA has been, is, and will be pushing the government and the national oligarchy towards a democratization of land ownership in the country. And the other area that concerns us a great deal, and this statistic will help illustrate it, that just last year, 252 people died of starvation in our country. They publish it outside the country. We don't hear it as much in the country, but 252 people, not of illnesses, not of lack of access to health, but of actual starvation died last year in our country. And so in Guatemala, the state we have in Guatemala is a state that was created to be at the service of the landowning oligarchy. And this is what is at the core of the struggle in Guatemala, is we need to struggle to transform it so that it becomes a state that works to support the small producers, that supports the women who are organized, that works to create services that are not just on paper, but that arrive to provide these services to the most needy in the country. And so there's a Ministry of Agriculture in our country, and its work is focused on supporting those who produce surplus goods for export. And those who are able to produce surplus food for export are the big landowners. And so what we end up is a situation where the state is subsidizing the wealthy, subsidizing the big landowners, but not providing services and support for the small producers.
Y entonces es ahí donde el CCDA y otras organizaciones indígenas y campesinas en Guatemala hemos propuesto la creación de una ley en el Congreso de la República que se llame Ley de Desarrollo Rural.
And so the CCDA, working with other organizations, has developed a bill called the Law for Holistic Rural Development. And this law that has been presented to Congress would transform the agrarian ministry so that it would focus on attending to the small producers, the women who are organizing, the cooperatives, the campesino organizations, all those people who have normally been excluded from the benefits of the state. The other area that the CCDA focuses on is dignified or decent work. And so this is a program that works with the rural landless laborers. There are still people who are working on the big coffee plantations, the big sugar plantations, the big agro-export fincas, plantations that are working, earning $3 or $4 a day for work days that run as long as 12 hours. While the basic food basket, or the basic living costs for a family of five in Guatemala is $15 a day, and that's just covering food costs.
Sin embargo, el mismo Estado, el mismo Ministerio de Trabajo, no hace nada para obligar a los empresarios para que al menos cubran el costo de la
ganancia. And so the state, particularly the Ministry of Labor, does not make the effort to ensure that workers are at least paid a living wage, a wage that would enable them to feed their families. What they have done is that they did raise, they worked with the landowners and raised the minimum wage by 4 quetzales, 50 cents a day, so that the minimum wage is now about $7 a day, half of what you need to live. That would be progress, except that the vast majority of the finca owners do not pay the minimum wage. They do not follow the legal limits. And so the salaries continue to be only $3 or $4 a day. And so we carried out a study recently, just in a very small region of the country, and we identified 72 plantations that were not paying the minimum wage. And we documented all this, and we presented that to the Ministry of Labor, but to date, not a single of these fincas has been investigated or sanctioned for failing to pay the minimum wage. So the CCDA, apart from what you saw about our work with Café Justicia and assisting the small producers to have a direct market, we also work for holistic rural development, we work for agrarian reform, and we work for what we call decent work.
Bueno, y entonces, ¿cuál ha sido las consecuencias de toda esta demanda, todas estas luchas que hemos tenido y que es la razón de nuestra presencia acá en Canadá hoy día?
And so what has been the consequence of this struggle? What has been the consequence of this work that we've been doing? What has been the consequences that have brought me here before you today? I have come to Canada on several occasions. I've given talks. I've traveled in other countries and given talks about the situation in Guatemala, about our struggle, about Café Justicia. But I never imagined that I would be here in front of you talking about my personal case. But that is the situation today. So as I mentioned when I met with the directors of Co-Development Canada last night, it's a new situation for me, but it's also an opportunity to once again thank people and urge people to continue the work with Café Justicia, to continue promoting it, to continue drinking it, to continue selling it, because these are the things that give us the materials, the support that we need to struggle for this social justice in our country. And so this support that we're getting internationally and our strategy in the country did enable us to grow to become an organization that was having a strong social and political impact in the country. But the problem with that, once you're successful there, you start stepping on the toes of the wrong people. And so our success there was starting to anger the oligarchy and also the military that still can wields a lot of control in Guatemala, and led them to think that it was time now to dissolve the CCDA, to get rid of its leadership. And so over the last few years, we've had more public profile, we've had more impact, but each time we've had more public profile, that's come with a consequence. So in 2008, April 30th, we were very public in the media, having signed an agreement with the new government to launch this bill for holistic rural development. So the CCDA was a public face signing for the social movement in Guatemala.
El día siguiente, el 1 de mayo, participamos en la capital para la conmemoración del Día Internacional del Trabajo. Y al regreso de la capital para San Lucas, donde yo vivo, nos salen dos tipos en la carretera y nos disparan unos 12 balazos en el vehículo.
The following day, a group of a delegation of the CCDA went in the CCDA's truck to participate in the May Day march in Guatemala City, in the capital. When we returned from there to our home, my hometown in San Lucas, we were ambushed along the way. Two men emerged from the side of the road and opened fire on us, and our vehicle was hit with 12 bullets. And so we filed a complaint with the Attorney General's office. We called for an investigation. We kept pressuring them to tell us how the investigation was progressing. 1 year later, they said, well, you were traveling through an area where there's a lot of robberies, so it's probably, you know, bad luck. And so in November of the same year, in 2008, A delegation of us went on a tour of 12 countries in Europe to urge there the European authorities to pressure the Guatemalan government to take steps to stop this new wave of violence against the popular movement and the labor movement. And we were able to convince the International Labor Organization to send down a high-level delegation to investigate the situation of attacks against workers in the country. And so as a result of that, last year in February, two important things happened that we participated in. One thing was we made a very public denunciation of the government's breaking the pact that we had signed the previous April, that in that pact, the governing party had promised that they, through their congresspeople in Congress, they would introduce this law that we developed of holistic agrarian development. They did not comply with this. We launched mobilizations and public activities. And so the second big event that we were part of achieving in February was this high-level delegation from the International Labor Organization that came from Geneva and carried out its study, and it made two declarations at that point, two recommendations to the Guatemalan government. One was that the system of justice was very weak in Guatemala and that they were allowing impunity to exist in the country. They were not taking action against these multiple attacks against labor activists and social movement people. And the second was that the Guatemalan state must not grant any more mining concessions, such as the ones they granted to Vancouver's Gold Corps, without prior consent, without complying with Article 169 of the International Labor Convention that requires prior consultation with the indigenous communities before mines are opened on their territory.
Sin embargo, cinco días después, recibí varias llamadas de amenaza de muerte en mi teléfono celular.
5 days later, I began receiving a number of phone calls that were death threats. And the government once again had promised to introduce this law of holistic development, and once again they did not comply with it. So we waited, and then by the end of October we were tired of waiting, and so the CCDA launched mobilizations in 11 of Guatemala's 20 provinces, mobilizations, simultaneous press conferences to denounce and pressure the government to comply with their promise to introduce this legislation.
Una semana después, el 8 de noviembre, allanan nuestro beneficio de café rompiendo las ventanas del centro de capacitación que tenemos ahí, simulan un robo de café dejando tirado granos.
8 days later, our coffee processing plant is attacked again. There's a break-in in the night. Our training center, which also doubles as a warehouse, was broken into. There was kind of a simulation of a robbery in that the coffee that we had stored there was taken out, but it wasn't carried away. The bags were slashed and the coffee beans were scattered throughout the coffee fields. Our windows were smashed and the machinery that we had there was sabotaged. All of these events, all of these things that have happened, we filed complaints with the police, we filed it with the Attorney General's office, we filed it with the Human Rights Ombuds office. So they're completely aware of what's been happening, but so far nothing done. But the straw that broke the camel's back happened last month. The 2nd of February, we had a special visit from the General Secretary of the Trade Union Confederation of the Americas. And in the occasion of receiving him, we issued a new report, well-researched report that we'd produced called The High Cost of Union Activism in Guatemala.
Este informe contiene 42 asesinatos que se han cometido en contra del movimiento sindical indígena y campesino en Guatemala, y ninguno, ni uno solo, ha sido investigado de esos asesinatos.
And so this report documented 42 assassinations of indigenous campesino and union activists that have occurred in Guatemala in the past 2 years, but not a single one has been investigated. And this study also reported on 280 other forms of human rights abuses against social movement and labor activists, death threats, harassments, attempted assassinations, rapes of women, 280 of them that occurred in the same period, yet again, not a single one was sort of case was, could we say this was brought to a satisfying solution. And at this event where we presented this report, there was a lot of media, there was a lot of members of the international diplomatic community, as well as people from the Chamber of Agriculture, which is the sort of landowners association. It made quite a splash, this presentation.
Justamente una semana después de este informe, aparentemente roban café en el beneficio del CCDA.
And exactly a week after that presentation, there was another apparent robbery in our coffee processing facility. But it was kind of a strange robbery. Yes, the coffee was stolen this time and it was gone, but there was strange things left behind. They'd created a kind of circle of bricks. There was glasses with liquor in them, beer bottles still full, and cigarettes that had been lit but not smoked. That the only thing we could interpret with that was it was kind of a symbol to us saying that they can do this anytime they want. They can do it at their leisure. And they must have had a lot, judging from the quantity of coffee they stole, 18,000 pounds, it must have been a very well-organized operation, because 18,000 pounds fills a full container of a semi-truck. And they had the time to load all that up, take it away, and smash all our windows. After the November attack, we'd reinforced the building to try and make it more attack-proof. All that was destroyed. So this would represent the collapse, the bankrupting of Café Justicia. It would represent the elimination of this economic effort we were doing, but also an attempt to neutralize the political and social activities of the CCDA. And so Teodoro, who is the coordinator of our processing facility, went immediately to the Attorney General's office in Santiago Atitlan, which is the nearest town, and tried to file a complaint. But they told him that he couldn't report this attack because he wasn't a legal representative of the CCDA. We learned after, when we talked to lawyers, that anyone can file the denunciation. It's just the legal representative has to do the final signing when the follow-up investigation takes place. But when we went back with our legal representative Marcelo, we discovered that the prosecutor that Teodoro had talked to before had been fired. He wasn't there anymore, and so they had no record of even what he had said. But when we filed this complaint that time, we also did a public press conference where we denounced this robbery and this attack on the CCDA. And so we discovered the robbery on the 10th of February. On the 11th, we did the public press conference. On the 13th, notes appeared both at the coffee processing facility and at the at our office in the village of Quixaya, where I live, threatening me personally. And at that point, we had an emergency meeting with members of the executive and others that worked with us, and analyzing the situation, we decided that my family, needed to leave the community immediately.
Entonces, tres horas después, tuvimos que salir. Fuimos a la capital. Entonces, empezamos a hacer consultas con alguna gente, experto en derechos humanos, algunos amigos.
And so we fled to the capital. We thought we'd be able to hole up there for a while. And we had some meetings, consultations with people we know there that are experts in human rights, friends that have accompanied our organization for a long time, people who work in the international solidarity. And we asked them at this point to they've normally worked with us around social issues, but to take into account the humanitarian side this time. And so Sunday the 14th, we had a meeting. Through our work with Café Justicia in Canada, we've made many friends here, and we are blessed with the accompaniment of Canadian solidarity people down in Guatemala. So we met with Emily Smith from Vancouver, who many of you know, who is now living down in Guatemala, with Jackie McVicker from Breaking the Silence in the Maritimes, Karen, who's another Canadian activist who's down there accompanying, Simone from Toronto. There was quite a number of Canadian accompaniers that joined us to help us analyze where this problem, these threats might be coming from, and what our next step should be. And so we finished this meeting about 5 o'clock. My whole family was there, and we now had the accompaniment of these Canadians with us. But we dropped off my daughter Nady. She's just started studying at the National University, the University of San Carlos there. So she's living in the capital, and we dropped her off at the home where she rents a room, and we left. But 15 minutes later, we got a call from her because a death threat had also been delivered to her door.
Entonces nosotros vimos que era muy muy difícil seguir, era muy preocupante.
And so this scared us a lot because it showed that the reach wasn't just around our region but on a national level. And so we gathered together, we again in the home of one of the Canadian accompaniers, we discussed it more and we decided to call the Human Rights Ombuds Office in Guatemala, and they sent officers to come and take us to the headquarters of the Human Rights Ombuds Office. And so once again, the role of international solidarity, and in this case Canadian international solidarity, played a key role for us, and I think we owe our lives to that. I think if we didn't have that accompaniment, we may not be alive now. And they protected us for a week in the city, keeping us in their homes and guarding us, yet their accompaniment also made it possible for us to carry out the denunciation of these threats, to enable us to go to various of the different embassies, the United States Embassy, the Canadian Embassy, and other embassies, to talk about what is happening. So we are here now with you. We hope it won't be for too long. We are hoping that before too long we're able to return to our country. However, the news that we've been receiving from Kishayad, our head village, has not been promising. The reports we get from our compañeros who have remained there say that armed hooded men have appeared in the village carrying lists, that strangers have arrived in cars and asked for me. So there's a climate of fear and intimidation at the moment. So we have developed a card with the support of the compañeros of BC Casa, we're asking people to sign. You just need to sign it, and we'll fax it to directed to the Canadian ambassador. Thanks to the solidarity and the pressure that's happened in these previous threats, the Canadian embassy was very aware of us and the work we were doing, and that kind of awareness really facilitated and made it possible for us to get out of the country quickly with the support of the Canadian embassy. Letter we've written is asking the Canadian embassy, thanking them for their support in doing that, but asking them to put more pressure on the Guatemalan government, both to pressure them to resolve the case, to comply with the security that they promised for our village, because the Human Rights Ombuds Office and the Presidential Human Rights Commission promised to have a perimeteral security around our village to try and sort of keep an eye on things, and that hasn't happened. That hasn't been complied with. And also, Canada works with an international commission around resolving impunity in Guatemala, yet they're investigating primarily drug and common crimes. They haven't investigated any of these political crimes. So the letter also urges Canadians to put more pressure on what's called CICIG, this international commission, to investigate the political crimes as well. And so, as Steve added, Canada has played a key role in funding this important commission, this international commission against impunity in Guatemala, that is carrying out important investigations in Guatemala, but it needs to fine-tune its work. And so my personal case has also enabled us to approach Canada, to urge Canadian authorities to try and ensure, to help us set up meetings with CICIG, the investigative group, so that they will start to carry out a greater focus on these political crimes. And so the CCDA continues its work. We continue our work for social reform. We continue our work with the coffee. We continue the social struggle despite the threats. And fortunately, our international solidarity hasn't been scared off neither. As we speak, there is a high school brigade from Vancouver that's down in one of our communities building a daycare center in a campesino community so that men and women can work together in the fields.
Y entonces en abril también hay otro grupo que de Ottawa que va para construir 13 viviendas de familias que viven en champas construido de plástico y cartón. Ellos van a construir una casa de bloque y madera.
And in April, a brigade goes down from Café Justicia, Ottawa, to build 13 houses in some of our communities for people that are currently living in homes made out of plastic and sticks. They're going to build solid cement homes. And so then on the 18th, we're not just sitting on our hands while we're here neither. On the 18th, Leocadio is leaving on a tour to the Maritimes, Ontario and Quebec to talk about what he's been talking to you about tonight.
Y bueno, muchas gracias por su solidaridad, acompañamiento y también por haber venido. Y por favor, si queremos reactivar, si queremos rescatar el proyecto de Café Justicia, consumamos Café Justicia. Gracias.
So, I think that was bilingual, but thank you very much for your support. And if we want to be able to help Café Justicia survive, help the CCDA survive these attacks, we need to keep drinking Café Justicia.
You've been listening to the words of Leocadio Huracán of the Campesino Committee of the Highlands in Guatemala, translated by Steve Stewart of BC Casa, and that was recorded at Rhizome Café a week ago. Leocadio Huracán is currently on a tour of the Maritimes speaking about the work of the CCDA and about the need for international solidarity. For more information about where to send letters within Canada and to Guatemala protesting the threats against Leocadio and his family, you can find a link on our website, coopradio.org/redeye. Look under current show for today's date, March 20th.